God himself stands at the epicenter of all of history and says, I've experienced this, but I've done something about it. Mm. And what I did on the cross sets in motion the putting together of this world again. And that's what you and I are here for. Yes, we live in the midst of broken, difficult times. We will experience tragedy and difficulty, but we do it in the hope that there is going to be a day when all things are put right. And we are part of that putting right. We are the people God is calling to help him put the world back together again.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
I'm kind of sad this conversation with Justin Brierley is going to end today.
Yeah, but it's going to be a great day.
And everybody's going to want to get this book, too.
Yeah, we'll show you where to get the book at the end of this conversation, but we're going to jump back in and ask some hard questions that every Christian parent needs to understand, because your kids are asking these questions and you want to know, how do I navigate these at the dinner table? Well, Justin's going to help you do that today. So let's jump into it. Well, I loved how you framed your thinking in this book about how, you know, why I'm still a Christian. God makes sense of, and you have different areas. We can walk through some of them, but when you think of, okay, God makes the best sense of these different areas, pick anyone you want. I mean, I don't know if there's a top three or five, but I mean, you open up with human existence, you know?
Yeah.
Walk us through.
I very often, if I'm being asked to kind of present some of the core reasons for why I think it makes sense to believe in God specifically, I'll point to three things. And these are the three of the chapters in the book. The first one is human existence. The second one is human value. And the third one is human purpose. These are three aspects of our experience that I believe point to God and point away from atheism, the idea that there's no God. And it's not that I have to kind of prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christianity is true to my skeptical friends and neighbors. It's more that we're comparing and contrasting the things we both believe. Okay, so if I'm speaking to an atheist who doesn't believe there's a God, who believes, if you like, that this universe runs according to purely mechanical, material processes, that there's nothing more going on beyond that, I guess what I'm saying is, well, if you take that view that we call naturalism, atheism, whatever, and we compare it to the view that there is a God behind the universe, there is a sort of divine mind from which all of this springs, whose view is best supported by the evidence that's actually available to all of us? What I find in doing this is that the evidence seems to better fit the Christian view that there is a God than the atheist view that it's all just blind processes and material stuff that's happening.
God makes sense of human purpose.
Yeah, I guess this is the why question. You know, what are we here for? And I think most people ask themselves that at some point in their life. When I compare naturalism, atheism to the Christian story, it delivers two very different answers to that question. Because on a purely atheistic view of life, there is no purpose actually to us or life or the universe. In fact, if you like, on a purely kind of scientistic, naturalistic view, the universe is heading for a kind of extinction, basically. You know, in trillions of years' time, we won't exist, the Earth won't exist, the sun will have swallowed it up. Eventually, the whole of the universe will just be one sterile void in what's called the heat death of the universe. That's kind of what we're headed for. And at that point, you've got to ask, well, what was any of it about? Everything's going to be extinguished. There'll be no hopes, fears, longings, whatever. And most of us feel like, no, I think life is about something. There must be some kind of purpose to this. It can't just be a sort of big joke, you know, that we're here, then we're gone, and then it's all over. The Christian view is that there is a purpose to life, and that when people ask that question, which they ask across every space and time and culture, there's an answer to it. I think there's a deep longing, actually, for there to be more. Mm. It would be very strange if actually the answer to that longing was just, I'm afraid not. There is nothing. It's lights out and the end of the universe.
Did you ever ask that question, Justin? Like, why am I here?
I did. Yeah, I've asked that question. You know, I think everybody has asked that question of themselves at some level.
Me too.
As much as that question, as a Christian, that's often been asked in a kind of a, you know, help me make sense of this God, this life, because it's not looking the way I planned it or, you know, whatever. At the same time, I've I've never been able to reconcile myself to the atheist answer, which is there is no purpose. You know, it's just, it's essentially down to luck, chance. I find it far more fulfilling to believe in the Christian story that actually whoever you are, even if you were the person, you were born into a part of the world where you fell on the most difficult, you had the most hardest kind of life, God's justice will one day answer that. There'll be some way in which God makes all things new, and it wasn't just dumb luck or, you know, whatever. It's actually that God's going to put everything right again. Now, my atheist friend may say to me, well, that's just wishful thinking, Justin. But I don't think it is. It's something that makes sense of the difficulty of life and how often how unfair life is.
I was in the second grade when I asked that question because I had gone through sexual abuse. Wow. And I remember being super sad and being in my bed thinking, what's the point? You know, I was 8 years old. I remember thinking, is there a reason why I'm here? Mm. And I remember asking, God, are you real? And I think people go through some hard times and they're asking that question, why am I here? Mm. Well, is there a purpose? And I think that's a good question. I think it's a good question to ask our kids if you're asked this question, why do you think you're here? Mm. Because everybody's longing for the answer. And I love that you're bringing this about to recognize like people are asking the question and there is an answer.
Yeah. And what I would say, you know, really in summary with this, and is thank you for sharing that experience of your own, Anne, which I think those are the critical moments, aren't they? When we're face to face, as we said earlier, with evil and difficulty and trauma, the question is, well, is this all that life is, or is there right. a possibility of healing and redemption? And most of us, I think, want to lean into the idea that there really is. And for me, you know, that the psychologists often tell us, you know, just on the secular scene, there are two things people need to live a fulfilling, meaningful life, and those are love and hope. Mm. And the problem is that the atheist story doesn't give you either of those. It's kind of, you might get it, you might not.
And it's conditional.
It's conditional. But in the Christian story, at the very center of that story, those two things are given to you with outstretched arms. Firstly, love. Mm. The idea that God himself gave himself for us on the cross to win us back, to bring us into relationship with himself. That is the most extraordinary act of love you could ever possibly think of, you know, and that's at the center of the Christian story. And then hope. On the other side of the cross is the resurrection. And for me, that is the hope that whatever has happened in our life, whatever trauma, abuse we may have gone through, there is hope, there is resurrection, there is life, not just life after death, but life now, you know, in Christ. And for me, that's the extraordinary thing about the story of faith, of Christianity, of God, is that love and hope are given to us, not just in theory, but by a person, Jesus Christ. And for me, that is the ultimate answer to the why question, the purpose of life question. It's not a sort of theoretical, mathematical answer. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of your life. Mm.
Hey, real quick, let me take a moment to remind you, our listener, that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It's a promise from God. And we've seen it time and time again this year at Family Life. When families face challenges, when marriages are tested and hope feels hard, God's promise remains true. Family Life exists to bring the hope of Jesus to families everywhere. But we need your partnership and support to do it. As the year comes to a close, you have the opportunity to help us give that hope to families everywhere. To learn more and to give, visit familylifetoday.com or call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY. That's F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. We'd be honored to have you in our corner. I mean, here's an easy one. It'll probably take you 30 seconds. You know this better than anybody. Probably the biggest pushback against Christianity and theism is the question of evil and suffering. Mm. You know, it's just, it's, and like you said, when it becomes personal, it's even a greater, when, my, you know, and we have people in our church, they just lost their daughter, 23-year-old daughter. Mm. Mm. You know, the different things that happen in our life that bring the evil that's out there into our family room. it's so hard to understand how a loving, powerful God allows evil and doesn't use his power to stop it. Again, we don't have 25 minutes, but if you could give a short answer, and I know you write a chapter on this, what would you say, especially to the parent who's losing hope because they've gone through or they've watched their children go through something and they just like, help me process
this. I'm thinking of Davey Blackburn, who we recently had on, who was a church planner. He and his wife were planning a church. He goes to the gym to work out. He comes home to find his wife and unborn baby murdered. And yet, I mean, his story of redemption and forgiveness, it was remarkable. But so there are people that are struggling through those questions.
Well, you guys certainly saved the biggest one for last. But it is a huge question. And let me be honest, there are no easy answers, to this. People have gone back and forth. It's the oldest book in the Bible. The book of Job is exactly on this question. So what I would say is I do, in the chapter where I deal with this issue, I do go to some of those more philosophical, if you like, what are sometimes technically called theodicies, ways which people can kind of intellectually approach this question. Why would a all good, all loving God allow evil and suffering in the world? And I think there are some helpful intellectual answers for that. But in the question I'm sensing from both of you, that there's also the sense in which for the parent who is suffering because of some terrible tragedy, that may not be where you start with those kinds of intellectual answers. The best thing you can often do, obviously, in those situations is to simply weep with those who weep. And it is to be with people and not necessarily to try and answer all of those intellectual questions. When the time does come for those kinds of conversations, I think there are some helpful ways to frame this. And one of them, particularly from a Christian perspective, is to say, sadly, we live in a world that is broken. It's broken. And whether we are Christian or not a Christian, none of us are, if you like, immune from the fact that we live in a world that is, you know, as scripture says, currently ruled by the forces of darkness. There are so many forces that are, if you like, in opposition to God. And we're in the midst of, if you like, spiritual warfare, a cosmic battle between the forces of good and evil. Mm. And it's not simply that God can just click his fingers and everything is put right, because actually God's sort of given a level of freedom to our world, both in the spiritual and in the physical realm. There's a kind of, sadly, we live in a world that's kind of in that in-between, you know, where some things that are very good for our planet, like the way in which the tectonic plates shift to renew the surface of the earth with minerals, can also wreak devastation when we build cities on them and earthquakes occur and so on. But it's exactly what is described in the Bible. In Romans 8, you'll see Paul saying, this is the creation groaning. Mm. It's this idea that we live in between sort of the fall, when everything seemed to go out of kilter in our world, and that new creation, when Christ will put all things back together. But we live in this in-between time. The question is, has God abandoned us to just live in this broken world? Well, no, he hasn't. He's entered that broken world himself and been broken himself. Mm. And this for me is at the very center of the Christian hope, even for the person you just described who came home to find their wife and unborn children murdered, for people I've met who have seen equally tragic and horrendous things. Often they're not, the thing they cling to isn't a philosophical argument or theodicy. The thing they cling to is the fact that God knows what it's like. God has suffered injustice, has suffered violence, has suffered rejection, persecution, betrayal, and a violent death. Mm. And in the process, even though this was the last person this should have happened to in the world, he did something extraordinary. He brought redemption, beauty, love, and hope out of the worst things that we could throw at God. Mm. So for me, at the very center of the Christian faith is Jesus. And that is the thing ultimately that for me answers this huge question. It's that God himself stands at the epicenter of all of history and says, I've experienced this, but I've done something about it. Mm. And what I did on the cross sets in motion the putting together of this world again. And that's what you and I are here for. Yes, we live in the midst of broken, difficult times. We will experience tragedy and difficulty, but we do it in the hope that there is going to be a day when all things are put right. And we are part of that putting right. We are the people God is calling to help him put the world back together again. And this isn't easy. As I say, that I wish there was a simpler, you know, just a kind of philosophical answer I could come up with. But actually, that's what Christianity is. It's saying, I'm going to join myself in this broken, you know, bombed out world. I'm going to join with the forces of love and hope shown in Jesus to say, this is not the end of the story, even though the story doesn't look good now. God's got something different in mind in the end.
You know, it's interesting, Justin, as you were just sharing that, I've never had this thought before. I've had this thought before. You know, why do people wear crosses around their neck? You know, it's just this religious symbol and it's sort of a good luck charm. But as you just described that, I'm like, a cross around your neck or any symbol of the cross is the symbol of suffering and evil, love and hope mixed. And it's been conquered. You know, I was always like, you should wear an empty tomb around your neck, not a cross. But the cross really is that symbolic symbol that says, remember, this God entered and he dealt with it right here. And he didn't, it didn't end there. You know, he did raise, but that symbol is the answer to that question of suffering and evil.
Can I tell a very quick story? Sorry, please. I know we're out of time, but just your comment there. And it's one I tell in the book. And it's in the chapter on suffering. And I met someone called Will Pearson Gee several years ago, who was sort of had a kind of vaguely nominal faith growing up and into his adult years, but not, he would never really have considered himself a Christian. And then tragedy struck Will when, while he was away overseas, his wife and child, one of their children, were involved in a tragic car accident that took the life of his wife and his child. And obviously his world fell apart at that point. And he told me, when I interviewed him, these are his words, I quote him in the book. He was asked to identify the bodies in the mortuary. And he said this, he said, they pulled back the white sheets and I ranted and I screamed and I wept. Then I looked at them and I thought, this cannot be the end. There was so much life, particularly in my little boy. He was such a handful. I just couldn't believe it was the end of him. At the time, I was definitely a nominal Christian. I believed there was some higher power, some greater being beyond myself that I could call upon and might listen to me, but I really had no idea about God's character or whether he cared about me. But then my eye was drawn to a very simple crucifix on the wall of the mortuary. It was a sign of the Christian faith to which I'd been exposed since I was a child, but at that moment, it's like a penny dropped, and it suddenly became not just a cross, but a sign of hope for me. I then realized that if there was all this talk about resurrection and life after death, I needed to find out more about it. And that was, tragic as those events were, and he wouldn't wish them on anyone, this was actually the turning point in Will's life that led to him becoming a Christian. And in fact, today being a vicar in the Church of England. And for me, it's one of those really difficult stories, but one in which that imperative, you know, in Romans, that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. That good can often come through incredibly difficult circumstances. But ultimately, I believe God is bigger than all of this. And that somehow, perhaps not in our lifetime, perhaps not even, you know, in eternity, but somehow God has a picture that we cannot see from our perspective. And just very occasionally, we will get a glimpse, as in Will's story, that there was something bigger at work going on amidst the tragedy of that story.
Wow.
What a beautiful way to end.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, if you're listening as a parent, these are the conversations we want to have with our kids.
Yeah.
Because the world's having them. They're watching them on YouTube, on TikTok, on everything. And so just to have these discussions of as a family and to not feel threatened by it, but to equip our kids, like, let's have this conversation. You could do a chapter of the book. You could listen to parts of this.
And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I'm not Justin Brierley. I can't answer these questions. Yeah. Well, he wrote a book for you.
Yeah. And we have this on YouTube that you could watch as a family, so parts at a time.
Go to familylifetoday.com, get his book, Why I'm Still a Christian, in the show notes. Click there and maybe get one for your kids as well.
Justin, I'm wondering, would you pray for us? I just feel like we ended in such a tender place of suffering and how the cross and Jesus is the focal point for our
faith.
Thanks.
I'd be delighted to. Father God, we come before you knowing the limits of our intellect, our ability to understand, knowing that your ways are far higher than ours. And yet you've given us minds to try to grapple with these big issues, but you've also given us hearts where we experience both great joy and often great suffering too. But you came in person to experience this life, its joys and its sufferings with us. You came to show us that we can love God with our heart, soul, and mind. And as we go forward, whether through trials and difficulties, through intellectual questions and objections, I just pray for anyone listening, anyone who is experiencing that in their own life, and perhaps in the lives of their children, friends, family, neighbors, just that they would know that you are the God who is with them in both their heart and in their mind. The journey of our life, the journey of our intellect, you are Lord of it all. And we may not have all the answers. We may not come up with everything, but we can trust that you have given us yourself and your spirit and a mind in which we can seek you and seek to understand you. Help us to do that with humility, with reverence, with curiosity, with gentleness and respect when we engage it with others. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Justin, what's the name of your new show going to be?
Well, you're one of the first people to hear this, actually, because we only decided this very recently. But the new show is going to be called Uncommon Ground. And we're shooting it for both video and audio in an absolutely beautiful location called Yarnton Manor, Oxford. It's a stately sort of manor, 17th century manor, beautiful surroundings and long form discussions between really interesting people on both sides of many of these issues. So I'm really looking forward to that. Look out for that on podcast, on video in early 2026. We've got some fabulous guests joining us on both sides of these issues. So yeah, it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to getting back in the middle of those kinds of conversations.
That's exciting. That sounds great. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Man, what a tender way to end, of just the reminder of the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection, the power of the gospel.
I think I'm going to go get a cross necklace.
What? You've never worn a cross necklace.
I know. There's something about the way Justin explained it today. Emotionally, it hit me that it's the most powerful symbol of love.
Suffering.
And suffering mixed together that gives hope.
Of the resurrection.
And I know it's the resurrection that's really the hope to overcome death. But what Christ did by entering our suffering and suffering on our behalf is such a powerful symbol.
I think this would be, as a family, this would be a great book to pick up. Not just as a family, just as an individual to be able to defend your faith. It's called Why I'm Still a Christian. And the subtitle is After 2 Decades of Conversations with Skeptics and Atheists, The Reason I Believe by Justin Brierley.
You can go to familylifetoday.com and click on the link there in the show notes and get the book. But I'd also say, if you've never watched us
on YouTube
do these interviews, you can watch the whole interview in one sitting on our YouTube channel. Family Life Today is our YouTube channel. And I tell you what, it's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to see it. Yeah. And you can share that with others, even your own kids. So I would go there, watch it, share it. If you're a parent and you're resonating with this, we know it's really, really hard.
I think often we have more questions than we have answers.
Yeah.
And I have always felt like, somebody please help me. And so we've pulled together some of our most helpful parenting pieces into one spot for you.
And if you're like me, you're going to want to get those. And I'd say you're going to want to get them right now. And we've got a way for you to do that. Here's how you do it. Go to familylife.com/parentinghelp. Did you write that down? Are you typing it in right now? Here it is. Again, familylife.com/parentinghelp. And you will find some of the best stuff Family Life has ever done over decades to help you and to help us all on parenting. So go there now.
Thanks for being with us on Family Life Today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.